All right, hello everyone. I'm Nathaniel Jones. There are a few phrases that you might not be familiar with in my title. Some of them might be irradiance caching, global illumination calculation, or graphics hardware. So another way to explain what I'm doing is just to say that I'm trying to run radiance very fast. The purpose of this presentation is to show you some of the advantages of running our simulations using graphics hardware and to talk about the relationship of accuracy and speed that we can produce. But there's really something more fundamental that I want to communicate to you today, which is to say that the computation devices that we've started to use in the last 10 years have fundamentally changed from what we had before that. And as we move forward, we really need to think about the kinds of simulations that we run, the kinds of tools that we use to run them. And to illustrate that, I want to bring up Moore's Law. Moore's Law is the statement that the density of transistors on our chips doubles about every 18 months. So if I'd bought a computer in 1994 and run a radiance simulation, and then I bought a new computer in 2004 and ran the same simulation, I would find that it ran 100 times faster just because it was a newer machine. And that's a corollary to the number of transistors, just as the speed also increases. And that was true up until 2004, and then something happened. So if I bought another computer today and ran the same simulation again, it wouldn't run any faster than it did in 2004. What happened? Well, we reached a limit in the in our ability to remove heat from our chips. And so instead of using those new transistors that we're putting on to make faster chips, we use them to make multi-core chips instead. So let's take a look at some multi-core chips. Up there, there's a central processing unit, a CPU. That's what you use to run Excel or Energy Plus or Radiance. And a graphics processing unit, a GPU, which is what you use when you're watching a movie or playing World of Warcraft. They're both multiprocessor chips. There are 8 cores on that CPU and a couple thousand on the GPU. So when I'm looking at running parallel code on many processors, or on many cores, I'm going to want to use the graphics processor. And I'm not the first one to suggest that. Just looking at, you know, the last decade of research in building simulation and sorting papers that have been written by the GPU tools that are being implemented, we can see that GPUs are being used now in lighting simulation, in computational fluid dynamics, heat transfer, in acoustic simulation. And what I want to do in this presentation is expand that to a global illumination simulation, which is the type of simulation that we're doing in Radiance. So how do we implement Radiance on a GPU? Well, is anyone here familiar with Radiance? Hands? Okay, good, because this is the daylighting session. So for those of you who didn't put your hand up, Radiance is an architectural lighting and daylighting simulation tool. It uses backwards ray tracing, which is to say that the rays go out from the camera or from the sensor into the scene and sample the amount of radiation that's available at each point that they sample. And it's used as a backend by many tools that are out there. There's really an ecosystem of tools that have been built around this Radiance engine. And so there's a lot of incentive for us to continue to use Radiance because of this. Radiance is also open source, which means that we know how it works. That's a good thing for us. But it is an old tool. It's written in the 1980s, and so it's not using the graphics processor, which is what we'd like to use. It's just a single-threaded application. So why does speed matter for Radiance? Well, I can run a fast simulation in just a couple of minutes and detect some of the light that's in that scene. Or I can run a longer simulation that takes closer to an hour and detect much more of the light in that scene. Now, if I'm just working as part of an iterative design process, I want to run that shorter simulation. But then I'm not going to capture the full amount of illumination in the scene, and this might cause me to design a building, say, with windows that are too large that end up producing glare as a result. I want to try to avoid that. Why does radiance take a long time to produce accurate results? Well, whenever a ray hits a surface, it's going to reflect off of that surface. And, you know, for a specular reflection, I only need to consider one more ray. I'm not increasing the amount of time that the simulation takes very much. When I consider diffuse reflection, I have to send out many rays from that intersection point to sample the scene. And that's going to slow down the simulation a lot. And that diffuse reflection is really what I'm interested in when I want to know the daylit portion of the room that I'm working with. So we just ran a test and said, you know, let's increase the number of diffuse reflection bounces that we consider as array bounces around the room and see how much illuminance we gather as a result. And we see that we really have to get to about 3 bounces before we're fully aware of what the daylit portion of the space is. And we have to get to 5 bounces before our illuminance in that scene levels off. So my solution here is to introduce a tool called Optics. Optics is a library of ray tracing commands that runs on a GPU. It's developed by the NVIDIA Corporation. It's built on top of CUDA, their Compute Unified Device Architecture, which is an extension of the C language for GPU computing. So Optics provides us with ray traversal algorithms, and then it's our job or my job to implement the radiance behavior into a set of shader programs that that work with Optics. And I want to emphasize that this is sort of a naive approach. We're not doing any optimization to make things run better on the GPU. We're just taking the radiance C code and converting it to CUDA C code. So basically what we're doing is we're replacing a slow engine with a faster engine. In terms of the use of this, it's fairly simple for the end user. You take the binaries that we create, drag them into your radiance bin folder, and replace the original rpict and rtrace binaries with the new ones. The command line interfaces are the same, so the new programs behave the same as the old ones, only they use the GPU. This also requires that you have some specialized CUDA-capable hardware in your computer. So these are the two cards that we're using. One is a Quadro, which is typical of desktop workstations that might be used for CAD. The other is a Tesla that's going to be found more often in high-end graphics workstations and servers. And we've previously shown that we can achieve a speed up by sending our rays on these cards instead of using a CPU. And so we showed at the ESIM conference this year that we achieved a 10 times speed increase on the Quadro card and a 20 times improvement on the Tesla. Now I want to introduce the idea of irradiance caching, because this is another way to speed up simulations, and this is what radiance uses. So here's a general idea of backward ray tracing. Again, on the CPU, I send out a ray, it bounces around, then I send out the next one, and so on, until I've sampled the entire scene. On a GPU, it's going to be a little bit different, because now I'm doing things in parallel. I send out all of the primary rays at the same time, and then each thread is responsible for the bounces from a single hit point. When I introduce irradiance caching, the idea is that we calculate the diffuse amount of light at a few points, say points E1 and E2 up there, and then when I shoot some more rays out at points A and B, I can interpolate and extrapolate the amount of light that's available without repeating the calculation. It's only when a ray hits at point C, outside of any of my radii of the points that I already have, that I have to calculate a new entry and add that to my irradiance cache. So on the CPU, this speeds things up a bit. You know, we calculate our cache values when necessary. Otherwise, we use the ones that we've already that are already there when we hit them. And when I go to the GPU and send out all my rays, well, which ones do I choose to calculate the irradiance cache points at? There's no first hit ray that I can use and then base the others off of that. And this is a known problem with parallelizing ray tracing. We can look and see a number of solutions out there. So for small instantiations on CPU clusters, we generally just say, we don't care. It's not very likely that two rays that we send out at the same time are going to hit near each other. On a GPU, we can't make that assumption. In fact, it becomes very likely that two rays will hit near each other because there are just so many rays being traced at the same time. And so we have to take up a new strategy, which is to calculate our irradiance cache in advance. And so these are some some other researchers who have done that work. And so what I'm going to do is expand on these by proposing a way that we can not only calculate an irradiance cache in advance, but do that through multiple bounces so that we get the full amount of illumination in the scene. And I'll start showing off a naive approach to this and then make it a little bit more robust afterwards. So again, here's the space that we're doing our ray tracing in. And I'm going to take a first step of sampling the geometry in this space. I'm just going to take some rays, running them in parallel, and bouncing them around. And if I do that long enough on enough cores, I'm going to end up having the scene fairly well covered by my hit points. Then I'll take a second step, an ambient sampling approach. And at this point, I'm going to take all those hit points that I found and do my ambient sampling. And again, this is very, very easily parallelizable. Each point can be handled by a separate thread. And let me diagram out what I've just done by this. I, you know, can already calculate my direct light going from the eye out into the scene. And then I've added my geometry sampling phase, my ambient sampling phase, and I take the results from that to build my irradiance cache and use that to put together my final image, and that handles one bounce. And in fact, chances are good that I found more points than I really needed, so I can reduce the amount of work that I have to do in the second GPU phase there by clustering the points that I found initially. So now how do we do the second bounce? Well, when I did my ambient sampling, I went out and all of my rays, if I sampled enough of the geometry earlier, they all hit near some geometry point that I'd sampled. So as a precursor step to this, I need for each of those points to have already sampled what's around them. And so let's just add that to my diagram. Now I've done my clustering. I'm going to add a second bounce, create a second irradiance cache, use that to generate the irradiance cache for my first bounce, and so on. I can do that for a third bounce. I can do that for an nth bounce. And here are some results from doing that. So on the one side, you can see the results using optics, and on the other side, using classic radiance. They look pretty similar. The time it takes to generate them is a little bit different. It takes about 3 minutes for optics versus 46 minutes for radiance. And I just want to show you in a false color view so I can convince you that these views actually do calculate the same values. In fact, I would argue that our optics implementation looks a little bit better in detail because it's calculating all of the irradiance cache points in advance, so you have a much smoother image. And here are some of the timing results from that. We can see that we can generally achieve about a factor of 10 to 15% speed up using the Tesla card. And as we increase the number of bounces, our error goes down to about 2% or so. And we can also make more accurate results by increasing the number of clusters that we find, that we calculate irradiance values for. Okay, let's try to expand on this a little bit. So here's a problem that we might find. We want to do ray tracing in this scene, and as we bounce those rays around, eventually some of them are going to escape into other parts. And that's not very good if we have windows in our building, and we're worried about daylight, and so we probably have windows. So I'm going to fix up my diagram a little bit. Instead of depending on my initially found points at each level, I want to find points that represent the area that I need to sample when I'm doing that nth bounce. So what I'm going to do is add another set of geometry sampling to create each irradiance cache. And so my workflow now goes down the one column and then back up the other column to create my final image. And I'll show you how this looks. So here again, we have a much larger space where we're likely to have rays on our, you know, fifth and sixth bounce that we can't even see from our first bounce. And there it is in optics and then calculated with classic radiance. And again, we see a fairly large speedup, about 20 times. And again, in the false color image, we're looking pretty similar. It turns out that we're not quite as close here, and we still see finding an appropriate algorithm to use to, you know, pinpoint which points we want to sample from as ongoing work. But we're able to achieve 15 to 20 times speedup using Tesla cards. and we're able to get accuracy better than 20%, which is, you know, on par with a lot of other speedup approaches that we see out there. So, what I've shown you, we have a proof of concept adaptation of Radiance that's able to run on graphics processors. It's not difficult to install, and its results fairly closely match Radiance. We see this as an opportunity for future work. We're going to continue working on, you know, correctly choosing locations to calculate our ambient records. We want to do performance optimization to make this code run even faster, and to validate it in real scenes, which I'm starting to show you. These are models of spaces on our campus that we're modeling. We see this as an opportunity not just to create faster Radiance simulations of the type that people are already performing. What we really want to do is get into types of simulation that are just not practical now because they would take so long. A simulation that considers an entire space and not just a single viewpoint. Simulation that considers an entire spectrum so that we can use it in calculating or predicting alertness levels in a space. And we want to take advantage of new hardware on the horizon, because although the speed of a CPU is sort of leveled off, we're continuing to see more transistors crammed onto our chips, and so we expect that in future generations of hardware, we'll be able to see even larger speedups. With that, I'd like to offer my thanks to the rest of our team, and I'll put up our website there. Starting today, you can go onto our site and try to get a copy of our code. Right now, we're in sort of a beta testing phase, which means that you'll fill out a little form and tell us a little bit about what kind of hardware you have. But eventually, we'll hope to be out there in just sort of a full release. And my email, in case you have any questions that you're too nervous to ask right now. So the main difference there is that Radiance doesn't need to specify the number of clusters that it's going to calculate in advance, and so it can do that adaptively at each bounce. Right now, we're constraining the number of cached values so it's the same at each level, and because of that, we tend not to find as much light when we get into very large scenes like the one that I demonstrated there. So if we were to use the same robust approach in the smaller scene, we would see results that very closely match the naive approach. Sure. So right now we require that you have a CUDA-compatible card, those will tend to run you something that you might use in an office workstation will be a couple $100s. Something that you might use in a server application might run you a few $1,000s. Now, you can also use these through services like the Amazon Cloud. They're still, the price point is higher than you would be paying for a CPU, but you're also getting faster results, so there's a point at which it balances out.
Okay. So, thank you very much. Mm-hmm.